Well, good morning and happy Easter. Jesus really is alive. Grave's really empty. It's brilliant to be with you. And isn't it so good? I don't know about anybody else, but at the moment, my newsfeed is just about as bad as it's been at any other time during my lifetime. What a brilliant thing it is to get together on Easter Sunday, praise the Jesus who's alive, and declare that we're good news people and sing that hope is here and we've got a living hope. Absolutely brilliant to be with you. Thank you, Steve and Roz and Sammy, for your generous welcomes. It's so brilliant to be with you again. Thanks for having me on Easter Sunday as well. What a special Sunday to be together. Before we dive into God's word, I wonder if I might enthuse you with something I'm really passionate about and invite you to do something really important. Now, I know many of you at CCW are already personal members of the Evangelical Alliance. But just in case you're not, it would be remiss of me not to give you the opportunity to join us. Let me tell you why that matters and what you can do about it. Well, you can imagine when you work for the Evangelical Alliance, loads of people say to me, what's an evangelical? Well, an evangelical is a good news person in a bad news world. Evangelical comes from the Greek word evangel, which means good news. What else? Well, we evangelicals are people of the Bible. We don't change the words of God to accommodate our culture. We want to see our culture transformed with the words of God. Secondly, we evangelicals are people of Jesus. We believe that his life and his death and his resurrection was the most important moment in the whole of human history. That Easter Sunday is Easter Sunday. It is the best day of the whole year because Jesus really did and he rose again. Thirdly, we evangelicals are people of conversion. You don't become a Christian by accident. The most important decision any of us can ever make is whether we choose to follow Jesus or not. And fourthly, we evangelicals are people of activism. We want to see the world become more like the kingdom. That's why it was evangelicals who were up for the forefront of the abolition of the slave trade. More recently, that's looked like Christians against poverty, food banks, street pastors, toddler groups, whatever we can do to see hope come to the hopeless in our world. And who we are as the EA, as I hope the video helped communicate, is we're an alliance of evangelicals. Jesus' prayer in John 17, just before he went to the cross, was that the church might be one so that the world might know. And the Evangelical Alliance has existed for 180 years. It's our 180th birthday this year. We've existed for only ever to do two really simple things. First of all, to unite the church to reach the lost so that every single person might hear good news and respond to it. But secondly, we speak up at the highest levels of government on issues that really matter to Christians. Why? Because first of all, if we don't, who will? Secondly, because the government need to know what an incredible job the church does in this country to make a difference in society. Do you know the church produces and contributes billions of pounds worth of social value to the UK every single year? We tell your story on behalf of all of us to the difference that the church makes. But thirdly, the third reason we speak up is there are some increasingly contentious issues that we need to speak up on and speak out on behalf of Christians. Issues like free speech. Why free speech? Because it should never be a hate crime to declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. One really quick example of that. There was a bill going through Parliament recently that would have enabled Ofsted to come into every Sunday school and youth group in the country and essentially vet what was being said. We thought that sounded more like North Korea or Saudi Arabia, government controlling private religion, so we spoke up. And I'm delighted to say that as a result of that intervention, that bill has been kicked into touch for the time being. Isn't that good news? But here's where we need your help, because the strength of our voice in the corridors of power depends on the size of our membership. Government regularly asks us, how many members do you have? We're a membership organisation. The only way we have access in those corridors of power is because of the strength of our membership. So we have around 500 organisations, many of whom you'll have heard of, around 3,000 churches, and around 29,000 individuals. The really good news is that when I joined the EA about 7.5 years ago, we had around 14,000 individuals. It's now 29,000. The dream over the next few years is to get to 50,000 members. Why 50,000? First of all, because 50,000 is about the size of the membership of the Liberal Democrats. Bear with me. We're not a political party. We speak on behalf of the church. But if you're big and the third largest political party in Westminster, it means that when a new prime minister comes in, they call us rather than the other way around. Second reason 50,000 is important is that it's common kind of representational wisdom that if you, for every signed up, paid up member you have, you represent about 20 people. So when we get to that stage, we can begin to talk about representing millions of evangelicals, not just hundreds of thousands. So I'd humbly like to ask you this morning, if you're not yet a member, would you join us? First of all, if you are a member, thank you so much. That has made such a difference. But if you're not yet a member, would you join us? If you're able to do so, I've got a little table as you drink coffee at the end of the service. I've got a little form like this. You can fill in a few details front and back and bring this back to me. It costs just £3 a month to join the Evangelical Alliance. It's not about the money, it's all about the voice. The reason the £3 a month is there, it's basically the smallest amount of money we can charge that means anything when it comes to political representation. If you're part of a couple, please tick the box that says join as a couple. It's still only £3 a month. It counts as two. If your spouse isn't here this morning, tick the box anyway and tell them later. They'll be delighted. Just by way of a really small thank you, frankly, we'd do anything to persuade you to join. It really matters in this time. But if you're able to join us, I'll give you a little welcome box. In the box is a few things. First of all, Steve mentioned that me and Gav have written a book together. That's in the box. You get that for free. Please come and grab that. Second thing in here is this. It's called Speak Up. It tells your rights and responsibilities when talking about Jesus in the workplace. Do you know we have more gospel freedoms in the UK than almost any other nation on earth? But we need to know what they are. For example, many people say you can't share your faith at work. You can. You just can't abuse a position of authority over an employee. Lots of people say you can't wear a cross at work. You can. You just can't wear a life-size one because it's a health and safety hazard. So I'd love to share that with you. And finally, and for some of you, this might swing the deal, and if it doesn't, we are out of ideas. In the box as an Evangelical Lions keyring. I know. Many of you have these, and I'm very grateful for your prayers when you use them. But when you need a pound coin for your trolley at the supermarket, in an increasingly cashless society, you will thank Jesus the day he joins the Evangelical Lions. In all seriousness, please come and see me at the end. Thank you for those of you who are members. Let me pray that the Lord would speak to us this morning, and then let's dive into that passage in Colossians, shall we? Father, thank you that you're on the move in this nation. Thank you that Jesus is alive. Father, thank you for those who will speak up for us in the corridors of power. But Father, this morning, would you remind us of what it is to be good news people? Would you encourage us and inspire us and remind us that the grave is empty? And would we know today the resurrection power of Jesus who died and rose again? Please speak to us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'd love to do is share from this passage in Colossians, a passage that has meant so much to me over the last few months. Something of what it is to be good news people today in our day and age. And the first thing I want to draw our attention to this morning is that good news people are part of something. These words were written 2,000 years ago by Paul, and he's writing to a church in Colossae, and at that time there were probably only a few thousand Christians across Europe and the Middle East. And yet what he says is really interesting. He says, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. What happened on Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago has had such a profound impact on human civilization that today, worshipping Jesus across the world, celebrating his resurrection, there will be around 2.4 billion Christians. Isn't that amazing? This obscure event 2,000 years ago has changed the course of history. And since that moment, these words are true. The gospel has borne fruit all over the world. People of every ethnicity, language, tribe, and tongue have chosen to follow Jesus. The gospel is viral, has transformed lives. And today, there'll probably be more people celebrating Jesus than at any other time during history. Isn't that amazing? We're part of something amazing. I want to encourage you today on Easter Sunday is that you're part of this story. This story that has resonated throughout history, that resonates throughout the world. We are part of that today as good news people. But what I want to encourage you particularly with this morning is that, I don't know about you, but for most of my lifetime, whenever there have been any headlines around Christian faith, it feels like the graph has always been doing that. It's been discouraging, hasn't it? But I want to encourage you that one of my jobs at the Evangelical Lines is I'm a missiologist, which means I study what's happening in terms of how people are coming to faith. My job is trying to help churches make the most of the opportunities we have. But what I also do, I kind of track the data in terms of the openness to the gospel in church attendance. And last year, I was piqued by some really interesting stats. First of all, these stats came out at the beginning of 2025, where an organization called OnePoll surveyed 10,000 UK adults. They found that just 13% of under 25 said they identify as atheists. and they were half as likely to be atheists as their parents or grandparents. This is terrible news for the National Secular Society, but great news for the church. Then the next month, the Times newspaper reported that Bible sales had increased between 2019 and 2024 by 87%. The Bible's already the UK's bestseller. But already this stat is redundant because a more recent stat came out a couple of months ago that's found that the increase is now 134%. Isn't that amazing? In an increasing society where we're so digital, Bible sales are massively on the increase. Also on Bible sales, an organisation called Fusion did some research with Savanta Comrades, and they found that of all students, not just Christian students, all students, 29% said they read the Bible at least once a week. I've got people in my church who don't read the Bible at least once a week. And that of non-Christian students, 33% would be up for reading the Bible with a Christian friend if that Christian friend invited them to do so. I remember last Easter Sunday talking to pastors all over the UK about their Easter Sundays. They would talk about the number of baptisms they had. It feels like something's been happening in the UK that has not been happening during my lifetime. And I want to encourage you with this morning from these words from Colossians. In the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, we are part of this story. And I want to encourage you that as I take a national view over the landscape of the UK, it's happening in our nation, whereas previously we've had to rely on stories from across the world. Something's happening here in the UK. My encouragement to you this morning is it might be closer to you than you think. See, I look at a national viewpoint, but I'm also locally rooted. Part of the leadership team of a local church in Birmingham, not quite Dudley, but it's Birmingham. Everybody say Birmingham. Birmingham. Thank you very much. Feel a bit more at home. And on my street, I felt in the build-up, actually, to a couple of Easters ago, I felt in my quiet times the Lord encouraged me to do something I didn't really want to do. Now, you might think that I am an effervescent evangelist 24/7. I'm often, do you know, I'm a reluctant evangelist. But I felt in the build-up to Easter a couple of years ago, I felt the Lord encourage me and provoke me to do something I didn't want to do. I felt him say to me in my quiet times, Phil, I want you to knock on the doors around you to hand out Easter eggs and to offer to pray for people. Do you know what I said to the Lord? I felt very, it's a very unholy comment. You'll forgive me, as he has. I said, Lord, I work for you all year round. Can I not have Easter off? I would have said the same prayer had Sammy not invited me this morning. I felt the Lord's gentle rebuke, went to the supermarket, bought a load of Easter eggs. My kids were gutted because they thought they were for them. And we knocked on the doors on our street. Do you know the response was amazing? One door we knocked on, this fella answered the door. And I've got to say, I was a bit physically intimidated. He leant out the upstairs window. He had tattoos on muscles in places. I don't even have places. And he leant out and said, what do you want? And I said fairly pathetically, we've got an egg. And he comes downstairs. And as I said, I felt the Lord encourage me to offer to pray for people. Now, it's always good if you ever do this to have a kind of line prepared. Even confident people need to have something they're going to say. So I said, well, we're the family who live at the top of the road with the silver car. But we're also a Christian family. We love to pray for you. Is there anything we can pray for you today? If I'm honest, I didn't know what this guy was going to do. He said, I'd really value that. My dad's died recently. So we got to stand with this guy in his grief. Next door we knocked on, this woman answers the door and her eyes were immediately drawn to the egg. You could tell she really wanted the chocolate. But then she said something quite strange. She says, I'm not sure I'm allowed to accept your egg. We were like, okay. She says, see, I'm a pagan. But then you could tell she really wanted the Easter egg. So she did some pagan theological gymnastics in her head and she went, oh, but I'm a new pagan, which means I can take the egg. Who knew? But the most amazing door we knocked on came when these two teenage kids answered the door. And they said something deeply profound when we offered prayer. They said, pray that we have a nice life. We thought we can do that. And then as we finished praying, the mum comes down the stairs. And she says, were you guys just praying? We were like, yeah. She says, that's really spooky. It's really spooky. She says, see, I've been really searching spiritually recently. I've looked into Islam. I've looked into Buddhism. So my wife and I then said to her, well, we're Christians. Can we tell you our story? My wife and I got to share each how Jesus had changed our lives. And all the time in the background as we're talking, the older teenager's like texting away. They do that, don't they? And he's texting away. And then he said something that made the whole situation really awkward. He goes, Mum, I need to confess something to you. We were like, okay, shall we go? He said, I've been doing Bible study with my friend for the last 3 months. We were like, well, he says, can I start coming to your church? We were like, yes, of course you can. As I walked home that day, I felt the Lord gently say to me, Phil, you should do what I say more often. But it also reminded me that some of the big stats that we're seeing across the nation might be on our doorstep without us realizing it. But also the great reminder, as Paul wanted to remind the Colossians when the church was only a few thousand people, that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. We are part of something amazing. That's the first thing about good news people. Second thing about good news people is good news people are relational. Verse 7, Paul says, you learned it from Epaphras. Now, we don't know very much about Epaphras, but clearly Epaphras was a really significant person in helping people in Colossae hear about Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning that as someone who studies how people come to faith, the good news spreads at the speed of relationship. And I want to ask you this morning, on Easter Sunday, on the day that Jesus rose again, who did you hear about that from? And I want to tell you this morning that I'm here as a result of an army chaplain and a man called Albert. An army chaplain, because in these buildings during World War II, someone told my grandfather about Jesus. Someone told me that he could be forgiven for his darkest past. Know Jesus with him today and hope for the future. My grandfather's heart was stirred and he became a Christian on that night during World War II. Came back from the war, told my family about Jesus, and my family's destiny was changed forever. But I don't get there without the army chaplain. But I'm also here as a result of a man called Albert. See, Albert had a friend called William. And Albert was desperate for William to hear the good news of Jesus. So he kept inviting him to stuff. And one day, William turned up to an event where someone shared the good news of Jesus. And that night, William decided to become a Christian. And William is better known as a man called Billy Graham. You might have heard of him. Billy Graham spoke to a few people during his lifetime about Jesus. An estimated 2.2 billion people about Jesus. And one of those people who Billy Graham's ministry had a profound impact on was my dad. And my dad told me about Jesus. So I'm here as a result of my dad and my grandfather, an army chaplain. I'm here as a result of Billy Graham, but I'm also here as a result of a man called Albert McMacken. And here's the deal this morning. We can't all be Billy Graham, but we can all be Albert McMacken. And I want to encourage you to think about the relationships that you have, the friends, the family members, the colleagues, the neighbors that you have. I want to tell you that as we study how people come to faith, one of the important questions we asked was, who was most helpful? The really good news for people like Sammy and I is that we've still got jobs, because 23% of people say a church leader played the most significant part. But look at everybody else. People from church, not the church leader. Friends, small groups of Christians, family members. I want to encourage you that as we live out our lives as resurrection people, the good news spreads at the speed of relationship. Good news people are relational. Thirdly, good news people are prayerful. Do you know, I really think we overestimate the impact of our actions and underestimate the impact of our prayers. And Paul is relentless in his letter writing, encouraging prayer and demonstrating what it is to be a person of prayer, to hold good news, but also pray to the good news God. Verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Do you know, I think one of the reasons we're seeing such an openness to the good news in our society at the moment is we stand on the shoulders of praying giants who have beckoned in this day for many years. And I want to encourage you in this moment of hopelessness, would you pray that we as a church would be a people of hope? And that when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying that God's kingdom would be birthed in people's lives, that the good news would land on good soil and grow to produce a crop. And I want to encourage you that I think as a result of a lot of these prayers, people are coming to faith in some really amazing ways. Today, in my church in Birmingham, there is a lad getting baptized called Leo. Leo's 24 years old. He's not been in a church for about 10 years. And about 6 weeks ago, he turned up at our church. He said to my friend who's the youth worker, I need to get baptized. My mate goes, oh, whoa, 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 back up a minute. I can't do that for you now. Why do you want to get baptized? This guy says, I had a dream a couple of months ago where an angel appeared to me and told me to deepen my knowledge about God. So I've read some of the Bible. I've decided Jesus is who he says he is. I want to get baptized. My friend Adam says to him, Leo, have you had a moment where you've decided to follow Jesus? Leo says, no. Adam says, would you like to? Leo says, yes. Leo surrenders his life to Jesus. And today he's getting baptized in Birmingham. Isn't that good news? I even heard recently of my first person I know who's come to faith as a result of ChatGPT. This guy wakes up at the beginning of last year, decides his New Year's resolution is to find out about Jesus. So what does he do? He does what a lot of people do. They have a little conversation with AI. ChatGPT asks him some questions. At the end of the conversation, ChatGPT says, you should go to this church. It starts at this time. Here's what to expect, and here's how long the service will last. He says, okay. Hats off to the welcome teams at CCW, because welcome teams play a really significant role in our times. Because this guy turns up, and the people on the welcome team say, hello, we haven't seen you before. He says, I know, I've not been before. They say to him, what are you doing here? He says, ChatGPT told me to come. He comes in. His first complaint was that the sermon wasn't as long as ChatGPT said it was going to be. There's the second miracle. The second week he's there, he gives his life to Jesus, and he gets baptized a few months later. Isn't that amazing? But there's something happening in terms of prayer. Here's another question we ask. We ask people, what prompted you to begin exploring the Christian faith? And some of the big themes are there. People looking for meaning, people needing help with life. Look at the impact of faith on Christians that they know, that relational thing. But look at the one I've circled, spiritual experience. 28% of people say they start their journey as a result of spiritual experience. God's on the move. The tide is turning. The grave is empty. Jesus is alive. The church is growing. Finally, I want to encourage you on Easter Sunday that good news people matter. Paul finishes this little passage at the beginning of his letter, reminding us on Easter Sunday of the significance of the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. He says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Being a Christian, the difference between being a Christian and not being a Christian is not the difference between being good and bad. We're not trying to help people be slightly better behaved. Jesus changes everything. I often get phone calls from my broadband provider or my TV provider saying, would you like a little bit more speed? Would you like a little few more channels? Would you like to slightly upgrade your life? Jesus doesn't do that. He changes everything. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I've got a mate called Dave. We've all got a mate called Dave, haven't we? And isn't the latest storm, isn't that called Storm Dave? Isn't that glorious? This is not a story about Storm Dave. It's about my friend Dave, who's not yet a Christian. I've been praying for Dave to come to faith for about the last 20 years. If you've not yet got a list of people you're praying for regularly to become Christians, I want to urge you to write one. And in this moment of spiritual openness, to pray that they come to know Jesus. Dave's been on my list for 20 years. Still doesn't yet know Jesus. My best conversation with Dave went like this. Dave pours out his heart. He's struggling with life. He says, Phil, my life's such a mess. What shall I do? He's from the West Midlands. And I say, Dave, I've run out of wisdom at this point. I'd earned the right over 20 years of friendship to say this. I said, Dave, your life is a bit of a mess. I said, the best thing you can do is give your life to Jesus and let him sort it out. And he stands there for a minute. And he says, what's the second best option? Hear me really well today. If you know Jesus, it doesn't matter what else is going on in your life, you are living in the best option for your life. If you don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter how popular you are, how much money you've got, how well work's going, you are still living in the second best option for your life. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It's finished. It's over. There's more of them than us, and they look a lot bigger. The villain's got the girl and his fingers on the trigger. Voldemort, Sauron, and Vader reign. It's gone to penalties against the Germans again. It's a terrible feeling when hope is erased, faith misplaced, gloom embraced, virtue defaced, when you've pushed every door and it's been slammed in your face, when you realise you're third in a two-horse race. So come, sit with me on Golgotha's slopes. See human history at its lowest ebb. See the forces of goodness and grace on the ropes. Evil had spoken, last rites read. In a phony gown and thorny crown, he's mocked and knocked and shamed. As he staggers down through an angry town, they spit and hit and hate. Hands that forged galaxies and flung starry trails are pierced and punctured by merciless nails. His body succumbing to brutal infliction. These are the horrors of crucifixion. And as dice are tossed, hope is lost. Desolate disciples count the cost. King of the Jews, his headrest embossed. A criminal's killing on Calvary's cross. And as last words cut through foul-smelling air, the whole of the cosmos cries out in despair, it is finished. It's over. But then dawn breaks on Easter Day. Darkness quakes as shadows give way to the light. See, resurrection's the plan, it's why God sent him. And the comeback's on, there's a change of momentum. The powers of damnation in previous jubilation have been hushed and crushed by the Lord of creation. See, he takes the hit, stands where we should have stood. And that's why we call Friday good. And he's back with life and with us and blessed, and that's why we can know it as Sunday best. So to the 4-0 down, to the backs against the wall, listen to his rallying resurgent call. And to those up against it in brokenness and pain, Easter's story roars, we go again. So thine be the glory, death's lost its sting. Here's to Jesus, the comeback king. Happy Easter, CCW. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This Easter story changes everything. It really is forgiveness for our darkest past. It really is God with us today. And it really is hope for the future. May we remember that we hold this best news in the universe, in our hearts and in our hands. May we remember that we are good news people. And we good news people are part of something amazing. We're relational. We need to be full of prayer in these challenging times. But we also matter. Let's pray, shall we?